The Holy Gospel according to St. John, beginning in the 3rd chapter. I will be reading from the Bible, so the words on the screen may not be exactly as I read. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. What impossible things have you done so far today? Nothing? None? Really? Did you log onto your email site and download messages from your friends or your business partners? How about visiting Facebook or Twitter on your phone? Did you get out of bed and stroll pain-free around your home using an artificial hip or knee? Did you swallow a simple aspirin to reduce your chance of a heart attack? Did you drive to church in a car that has a built-in satellite system so that you always know exactly where you are? Perhaps your phone has a GPS. Did you make a phone call from your car? Did you stop at a 24-hour McDonald's and grab breakfast on your way to church? All of these things, and millions more, would have been rejected as impossible only 5 or 10 or 20 years ago. Today, home electronic gadgetry, microchip technology, medical, surgical, and pharmacological wizardry, and a culture with 24/7, 365 services has made much of what seemed impossible part of our common everyday experience. I'm probably dating myself, but do you remember 7-Eleven? It was called that because it opened at 7, the stores opened at 7, and they closed at 11 p.m. Oh, that was shocking that a store would be open at 11 o'clock at night. Impossible that stores would be open 24 hours a day. Everyone knows certain people who would rather deny that the impossible is now possible. Some people would rather cook in the same old scarred and seared saucepans they have been using for years rather than try the convenience of a microwave. Had to throw that in there. Some people would rather hobble around on a painful arthritic knee or hip rather than have a metal or plastic joint in their body. Some people refuse to believe that anything other than snail mail is a legitimate or trustworthy form of communication. Some people don't even have computers. In today's gospel text, Nicodemus is like one of those folks, so resistant to change that they keep claiming the new possibilities are still impossible. Nicodemus is so perplexed by the unexpected nature of Jesus' images and the possibilities of his promises that all he can keep stupidly stammering is, "How is this possible? How is this possible? How is it possible for us to be born from above after our first physical birthday is long past? How is it possible for us to see and enter into the kingdom of God? How is it possible for sinful men and women to ascend into heaven? How is it possible that mortal creatures such as ourselves may gain eternal life?" The answer to the question, "How is it possible?" is very simple. We've got an impossible God. That is to say, a God who defies what is possible, who transforms a no way Jose unbelief into obedient faith. Our impossible, too good to be true God outlines the core of this reality in this memorable verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Indeed, all things are now possible because God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son. Indeed, Jesus is proof of God's commitment to doing the impossible. Christian author J.B. Phillips argues that we can never have too big a conception of God, and the more scientific knowledge advances in whatever field you choose, the greater becomes our idea of his vast and complicated wisdom. There's a story about a doctor that illustrates how Jesus makes the impossible possible. A physician went to visit and treat a sick mother whose children had chicken pox. The doctor gave advice to the mother and then left. Later, a pediatrician came to see the children. The next day, when the first physician called, the mother said, "Dr. M did something really great for us. After he left, he went over to the supermarket and brought back milk and juice and barbecued chicken and bananas. I was so surprised he didn't even let us pay him. He really is one terrific doctor." That is how we heal, in those small acts between one human being and another. Another woman shared an experience she had with her oncologist, describing how, for her, a simple act had enormous power. "He once tied my shoes after my treatment. Suddenly I felt like a human being." Think back to Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. When doctors become involved in their patients' lives, they can cure in ways they may not expect. One doctor told about a woman and her child who had come to see him. He wrote some prescriptions for antibiotics and then asked, "What's going on in your life?" He learned that the woman's husband had left her. After listening for a while, he realized that what she needed was to speak to legal aid. They spoke a little while longer, and he gave her the telephone number for a lawyer. When she came back a week later, having forgotten to pick up her prescriptions, she was beaming and healthy, as was her child. The visit to legal aid had solved her problem. The antibiotics turned out to be unnecessary. Someone cared and responded. She felt hope, and she could go on. What had been impossible for these patients to experience became possible when someone cared and loved them enough to get involved. John 3:16 is the ultimate expression of how Dr. God became involved with patient humanity. The most impossible obstacles that stunt our lives are not technological challenges or physical disabilities or the realities of time and space. The most debilitating impossibilities we face are those that are rooted in wrong relationships, eroded emotions, hurtful habits, and just simply bad behavior. In life, every one of us faces some looming impossibilities. Join with me now as we make impossibilities possible. For every impossibility I name, the same miracle now makes it possible, the love of God. I'm going to read the impossibility, and you are going to read the possible. I don't think I can face another day of working at my impossible job. For God so loved the world. It's impossible for me to manage staying in my house by myself any longer. For God so loved the world. I can't seem to get control of my impossible drinking or eating or gambling addiction. For God so loved the world. I have impossible monthly bills that now outweigh my monthly income. For God so loved the world. I'm facing an impossible situation with my kids. For God so loved the world. There is a problem in my life that I'm finding impossible to face. For God so loved the world. The question is, how is all of this, and more than we can imagine, how is it all possible? That question elicited Jesus' most famous response. For God so loved the world is how all things are possible. Amen.